Hi, I'm Jervis Lewis, and in this video I'm going to show you how to create dramatic side lights in DAZ Studio for your characters. This is an answer to a question for Deepak, so hi Deepak, and he was saying, hey, whenever I do a render in DAZ Studio, everything looks kind of flat, and I don't know how to create a light from one side. And he is absolutely right, I know what you mean, Deepak. It is difficult to get that going. But I will show you how to get started step by step in this video. I'm using DAZ Studio, let's just jump right in here. I'm going to use DAZ Studio 4.9.4.117, and I'm recording this video in August 2017. Just in case your interface has changed, that'll be why. I'm starting with Victoria 8 here and her boho shorts outfit by Nikki Sartes. You can get that on DAZ3D. And this was part of the Victoria Pro package, Victoria 8 Pro and Starter package, I believe. And before we do anything else in DAZ Studio, I'm just going to switch over. I'm going to make sure that under render settings, my render engine is set to NVIDIA Iray, which it is, that's nice. And I'm also gonna make sure that the viewport is switched from texture shaded to NVIDIA Iray. And that'll just give me a brief impression of what the default lighting will look like. Now we'll speak about the default lighting because it consists of two pieces of light and it's not immediately obvious what's going on there. The first thing is something called a headlamp. And that is something that the perspective view provides by default always, and cameras provide, but in cameras you can switch it on or off. So that's important to remember. That's one thing, the headlamp. And what that is basically, it's a kind of a visual aid tool for us while we build our scene. This is not really meant for final rendering, even though if you're happy with the results, go ahead and use it. But it is meant for us to get started more than anything. And the other bit is the environment light that is always provided by default when you create a new scene. So there we go, as the GPU is kind of getting closer to more or less a final render here, we see that we have no lights in the scene. There's really only Victoria 8, oops, and some parented items, which is, you know, the hair and the outfit and the eyelashes, new for Victoria 8. But that's it, I don't see any lights, and I can assure you I haven't added any lights. Yet the scene is kind of illuminated, so what's going on there? Well, as I said, the first thing is the headlamp. So that's a light that comes directly from where we're looking at Victoria. So that means if I twist the figure around to the back, for example, then the figure is also illuminated from here as much as it was from the front. Now in real life that wouldn't really happen if we only had one or two lights shining at the figure and we would walk around our character, then we would see that the character would be light from the side where she's illuminated from, but of course she'd be dark where there is no light. But here it seems to behave slightly differently, so it's a bit of a reality tweak going on, and that is because from where we're looking, currently the perspective view, there's always light shining at our figure. And that doesn't create any shadows, because otherwise we would see a shadow going sort of into this direction. So instead we do see a shadow, but that goes into the left direction. So there is a second light that illuminates our scene, and that shadow is in fact, when we spin the figure around, that seems to be wandering with the figure. So right now I can't actually see it, but I can just see it very briefly. It goes into this direction, and if I spin her around like this, then it appears that the shadow is going into that direction. So this direction of the light does not change. And it's because that is the second not so obvious light, which is the environment light, or an indirect light, or an IBL created with an HDR image. And those are all terms that are kind of used interchangeably, like HDR lighting or HDR image or HDR based lighting, IBL lighting. Technically it should be IB lighting, because the L in IBL already stands for light. And we can switch that on and off under render settings, environment, And there we have two values here. One is the environment intensity, and one is the actual environment map. They have default values, which we can tweak, but also the environment map is the thing that actually makes the second light. So there's a very low resolution, blurry image here, and that has a light hotspot here that looks like, you know, something around the mountains there. And that is what creates the second light source, the one that gives us the shadows. Now, to get rid of that, we either set the environment map to zero or the environment intensity to zero. Both will have the same effect. I will choose to switch the environment map off briefly. And if we do that, then we see that our image gets a little bit darker and does get a little bit more creepy and shadowy. And we can see that some effects, like on her shiny pockets, have kind of gone away. And of course, the shadow has gone away completely. So if we turn the figure around now back to the front, then we see that this front light is still there, but the light that was creating the shadow is no longer there. So we've switched off the environment map. Now, how do we get rid of this light? Because it is still flat and it comes from the front and doesn't create any shadows. So how do we deal with that? Well, the way to do it is there's not much we can do in the perspective view about that. Well, actually, I think there is. Let me just have a quick browse here. Yes, there is a setting, in fact, under General MISC. And that is also called headlamp. And the auto headlamp, the setting is when no lights are in the scene, like in our case, then use headlamp, otherwise never. If you switch that to never, then we would expect there to not be any lights. And that is correct. There we go. So this is now the auto headlamp switched off, even perspective view. However, I don't recommend you do that. So I'm going to switch that back on. And instead, what I'm going to do is create a camera for rendering. I would recommend you always create a camera for any kind of rendering work, because the camera can save a camera position, whereas the perspective view can sometimes, you know, not do that. So it's much easier to create new camera. And if you're happy with this framing, you can just apply the active viewport transforms, and then it will create a camera that will look exactly the same as if you're looking through the perspective view. But the added advantage is that you can, once you're happy with your camera framing, you can go ahead and spin around the perspective view into any direction that you want. I'm going to leave the camera one as this wide shot. In fact, I'm going to create a second camera exactly the same. This time I'm also going to apply the active viewport transforms for camera one. So I'm going to create an exact duplicate of camera one. I'm going to switch over here, looking through camera one, and I'm going to, well, now looking through camera two, and I'm just going to zoom in on her so that I get a nice portrait close-up. Because while we're dealing with lighting, it's kind of interesting to see what's happening in the face. That's sometimes a part of the character that we want to focus on. That'll be fine. One last thing, I would like her to look at the camera. And for that to work, I'm going to use a little trick. I'm going to select one of the eyes. So select the right eye first. And under MISC, I'm going to use point at and select camera 2. I'm going to do the same for the left eye. So right click and select the left eye. And under MISC, I'm also going to point that at camera 2. So the benefit of that is that no matter what we do with our camera, Victoria's always going to look at us or look at the camera now. If I twist her around, it's a bit like the Mona Lisa. She's always going to try and look at our camera. There, now it's kind of, you know, from the side here. And if I were to look from, oh, come on. Try to get her centered here, not that easy sometimes. there. No matter what I do with her, she's always going to look at the camera, and that's kind of a nice effect. Great, so now I've got two cameras. I've got the close-up shot and I've got the wide shot here. And I'm going to use both cameras to set up a nice side light. Now let's go back to the close-up view here and select our camera. Because on the cameras, I have a setting here in the parameters tab on the headlamp, and that is the headlamp mode. It's currently set to auto, and auto is pretty much like what we've seen in the render settings, and that means if there are no scene lights, then provide headlamp mode, and if there are scene lights, then you know, don't do that. But we can switch these on manually as well, to on and to off, and I encourage you to switch this off for now. So now we don't have any lights in our scene, and that's kind of what we want. But the advantage is that we can still switch over to our perspective view, and we still have headlamp mode on here. So that makes positioning a light a lot easier, but then when we look through a camera, it's switched off. So we only get to see the light that we actually set deliberately. So that's gotten rid of the default light, at least for camera 2. If we switch over to camera 1, however, we see that there's still a light going on, and that is, of course, because camera 1, if we select that here, still has the auto headlamp mode on. So let's switch that off as well, so that the wide shot also does not have any headlamps showing. Now let me switch out of NVIDIA iRay mode and back to texture shaded mode here, and that's just so that my navigation works a little bit quicker while we set up our lights. Now looking at camera 1 here, I'm gonna go and create a new spotlight. I'm going to apply the active viewport transforms from camera 1, so that light comes directly from where camera 1 was. And a nice neat trick in DAZ Studio is that you can switch over and in fact look through a spotlight. So this looks a little bit skewed and a little bit weird, and sadly it doesn't quite behave like a camera. So if I now select Victoria and frame her, and if I try and, well, there we go, I can kind of try and pan around her. If I don't do that, then the light is not going to spin around that character. And look at the perspective, it's slightly weird and slightly odd, but that's fine. This is just so that we can position the light correctly. Now in our case we want a dramatic side light, and I'd say side light doesn't come exactly from the side, even though if you'd like that, of course, you know, by all means try and position that way. I'm going to make it come from slightly above and slightly from a three-quarter view, kind of from here. And the OpenGL lights will give me a little bit of a preview of what's happening here. In fact, let me go to my aux preview port and switch over to camera 2 so I can see what the face looks like. Now these are only preview lights, this is not how the light's going to behave in my final render. But you can see that as I twist my spotlight around, the light in the aux viewport kind of changes, and this is a nice way to get a preview of what this is going to look like. So I'm looking for something like this, but of course I'd like to illuminate the whole body here. So the further I go away, the more of Victoria will be illuminated, and the more I close in, the less of her will be illuminated. So if I only wanted a spotlight on the face, I could in fact do that. I could just go in fairly close and then move the light up, and that'll only illuminate her face but leave the body kind of unilluminated or in the dark. You can check that by switching over to the wide shot, and sadly we've got the camera in the face there, but you get the picture. This is kind of the lighter part, and the rest of the body is still dark. You see that here? And if I move my light up and down, you can see it actually moving in the scene. They're coming in and out of the aux viewport. Likewise, if I move it away, then I get to illuminate the whole side of Victoria. So let's position it that it illuminates the upper body, much like this. And it always requires a little bit of experimentation, but this is kind of good to get us started, perhaps. I said perhaps because we can only see that in the final render. And in order to get a preview of that, let's switch over to camera 2 here. Perhaps a little bit more on the face, like so. And see what happens if we now switch over to iRay. Well, actually, I need to do that here. I can do it in both viewports. Let me do that. Yeah, let me do that in the AUX viewport. Maybe it renders a little bit faster. Now, just to recap here, we're still looking through the spotlight so that we can adjust it. And here, we're looking through our camera too. We can also switch on the show aspect frame so we get to see what is actually ending up on our final render. Okay, that is an iRay preview, and we get a little bit of light, but I'd not describe it as, you know, as a great light. I'd say we're getting something like a glimmer, but it certainly is not representative or indicative of what we saw before in the OpenGL viewport, and that's because the OpenGL lights, they're just not equivalent to iRay lights. So what shall we do about that? Well, let's head over to our scene view and select our spotlight. Switch back to AUX viewport so that we get to see what's happening. And under light down here, we have two options, area and photometrics. And if we set these parametric lights in iRay, then we have to do a bit of tweaking here. So under area, let's change the light geometry from point to a rectangle. And under the height and width diameter, let's just type in 100. The default value is 10, and I'm going to explain why we're going to use 100 in a moment. Now, render emitter, you can switch that on or off. The default is on. That means we get to see the light source that is in our scene. So the actual rectangle that emits the light will be drawn, and if we switch that off, then the light that it creates is still drawn, but not the actual rectangle. It kind of has sometimes, well, advantages if you happen to get the light into your shot and you didn't actually want the light, but only the results of the light. So we're just gonna switch that off for now. And under photometrics, we have the real kicker, which is the luminous flux in lumen. That sounds grand, and really it only means the light intensity. Perhaps intensity would be a much better name for this, but technically it is a luminous flux in lumen, and 1500 lumen is the default, which is not enough to illuminate a scene of our size. So let's switch that to 50,000. And you can see immediately that we get a much nicer light. So this is kind of interesting to see that come together, and we do have a side light now from here and nothing on the other side. We can, in our large viewport here, we can tweak this a little bit more if we wanted to have the light come from the side even further. We can do that. So now half her face is indeed in the shadow and the other half is illuminated. So I'll maybe go around a little bit, just a bit, perhaps like this, and to get a bigger, better preview, I'm going to switch my large viewport over to the camera 2 now, and we'll see what that looks like. Oh, and also don't forget to switch this to NVIDIA iRay, of course. Takes another moment to render. Same thing here, we can also switch the aspect frame on. The actual aspect ratio, just in case you don't know, is under render settings dimensions. This is where that aspect ratio gets set. So therefore then this white rectangle that's showing is set up that way. It sometimes is taxing for the computer to render two viewports in iRay, so to speed this up a little bit, I'm going to switch this back to texture shaded. So then the resources of my computer can fully focus on the large viewport now. And then if we wish, we can switch to our spotlight over here and make adjustments here as we need it. Or if we wanted to, we can also switch to a different camera here, just so that you know that it's kind of a whichever way you'd like to work. Now, if we'd like to see what she looks like as a full figure, you can just switch over to camera one, where we have our full body shot. And if you want to get rid of all these drawings here, all you need to do is select something different. So for example, just select Victoria, and here we can see the actual camera. This is the camera two. I suppose that's visible in simulation, or that's visible on and off, and that toggles that icon off in your scene if you don't want to see it. Or that's the same as toggling these two things off. It doesn't mean they're not there, it just means they're not visible in the scene. Sometimes makes life a bit easier. Also, if your computer is having a hard time rendering all this, that you can always switch parts of the figure off. So for example, her hair is quite render intense, so you can just head over here and and find it, either select it in the scene or find it here. It's the crayon hair. If I switch that off, then the rendering may be a little bit faster, especially useful when you do viewport manipulations, which is what we're doing kind of all the time here. Now, sticking with the light, if I wanted to illuminate more of her lower body, then I can just go back into the aux viewport here and zoom out with the light a little bit. And we can see the results immediately here in the larger viewport. I can also go further up. So again, these OpenGL lights, they give you a little bit of a preview here, more or less instantly, while iRay needs a bit of time to calculate it. Notice that as we go further away from the figure with our light, the light gets darker, so that is kind of real light behavior. In order to compensate for that, select the light, head over to the lights tab under photometrics, and increase the luminous flux to something larger, something like 80,000. And then that light gets stronger, perhaps 100,000. Now remember under area what I told you about these height and width values here. I've set them to 100. Let me switch over to the camera 2 so the close-up. And in fact, let's switch her hair back on. We'll play around with these two values before we continue. And what these do is they're responsible for the size of our light. Because it's a rectangle, you can picture this as something like a photographer's softbox. So the larger these values are, the larger the softbox and the softer the shadows. So if we set these to the default values, which was 10, you'll see that we get a much stronger light with the same luminous flux value, but at the expense of the shadows. So look at her collarbones here. That is that those shadows are now much harsher, and the shadow on her face is much harsher than it was before. So if we switch that over back to 100, then the light intensity is kind of going away because the light's diffused a little bit more. And you can see the effects here on her collarbones quite nicely, that this is now softer. If this is still too harsh for you, then you can, of course, use something even larger than that. But notice also that we're going to lose a lot of light intensity, so you have to compensate for that under photometrics. And we're already at 100,000, so I suppose let's just add another zero to the mix and see what that does. Yeah, perhaps that was a little bit too much. It is all about experimentation with this, and a fast graphics card kind of helps you visualize things nicely. So that is kind of a dramatic sidelight, I suppose. Hopefully that's what Deepak was looking for. But you can see that this is perhaps a little bit too dark on this side. So what we can do to compensate for that is we could either use another parametric light and tweak it in exactly the same way as we've tweaked the first light and just take the intensity down a little bit. Or what we could do is we can make use of that environment light that we have been given here by DAS and just make sure it points in the other direction. So remember that if we go back to camera one, you remember by default that environment light was kind of creating shadows that were leading this way to the left. And we've already got a light coming from that side. So that means the environment light is illuminating our figure already from kind of from the right here, casting a shadow to the left. So we would like to then perhaps spin that around a little bit so that we in fact illuminate the shady side just a little bit and see what that does. And we can do just that. Perhaps we once again isolate that light. So if we switch off the spotlight in our scene, then we don't get to see the results of that spotlight. So this figure is now completely black again, which, you know, is kind of cool. Let's switch back to camera two and bring our figure back to the three-quarter view here, or kind of what I'm guessing is the three-quarter silhouette view here. And I'll switch this back to camera one so that I can see the results. The environment map's default value was 2. Let me bring that back and see what happens. So this is now the effect of the environment map alone. Now that, even if we were spinning this around, that would be way too much because I only want her dark side to be illuminated a little bit. So perhaps I'm going to bring this down to 1. And perhaps going to take it down even further in a moment, just so that I can see the shadows here. There's the dome rotation. That's how we can tweak that, but we can also tweak the dome orientation. So both of these will do the same thing. So if we wanted to spin this shadow around to 180 degrees, that this light that's now coming from this side is coming from that side, all we need to do is under dome rotation type in 180, and then we should see the shadow going to the other side. And that's exactly what we see. This may not be exactly the illumination we want, so we may want something a little bit from the front as well as from the side. So let's tweak this to, well, maybe something like 140 and see where that gets us. Was that the right direction? Yes, it was. Look, so now we're getting shadows pointing that way, so perhaps 130 is a good starting point. Nice, so now we're illuminating her from this side, but it's still a little bit too strong. So perhaps I'm going to take this environment map down to 0.5, because I only really want this for just to brighten up the shadows a little bit. Even 0.5 is too much, perhaps 0.3. That may be nice. And in addition, I'm going to switch on our spotlight now, which provides that kind of harsh light from the other side. And this is now almost too bright. So with that selected under photometrics, I can either, what's the area light setup? 300, yeah, okay. So I did like the 100 values, so I'll put that back. So that makes that light a bit harsher and the shadows a bit stronger. And I'll try 50,000 again. Let's see what that does. That's not enough now. Let's try 200,000. And let's look at the facial close-up. And that's still not quite as dramatic as I'd like it to be. So I'd like to take the environment down even further to literally just perhaps 0.1. There we go. Now we get this slight illumination on her dark side, and we get a nice light from the side here. And it is kind of a tricky way to balance out the IBL lights versus the parametric lights. Some people like to work only with environmental lights because they give very realistic results, because in nature we sometimes only have a single light source. If you think about outdoor lights, they only really have a single light source, which is the sun. And then you could either add a little bit of a parametric light to make it appear as if your figure has been photographed with the flashlight, or you can indeed use the headlamp for it. But the trouble with the headlamp is you don't get to adjust the values of it. It's either on or off, and if the result pleases you, then that's great. But if you want to do any kinds of adjustments, you can't really use that. One last thing you may have noticed in the light is the temperature here. So by default, this is set to 6,500 Kelvin. Anything lower than that, say 5,000, will give you a slightly warmer image. So warmer as in, you know, more yellowish, reddish. And anything higher than that, say 8,000, will give you a slightly more bluish image. So that's kind of outdoor color temperature. Sometimes you can even have something like 10,000 on sunny days. As you like it, I think 6,500 is a nice median value there. And here's a final render of the image. No post work. This is how it comes out straight out of DAS Studio with the lights we've just been fiddling with, and a bit of a background imposed just so that there's, you know, something other than the transparency showing. That was it. I hope this was helpful. If you have any other questions, please ask in the comments. And don't forget to subscribe to my channel and share this video with friends, family, and total strangers. Until next time, bye-bye.